Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today I'm going to continue in the series of the book of Revelation. We were talking about what the Lord has lined up for the world, how the world will close itself or come to a close, and the Lord will redeem mankind that he has planned to redeem by his blood. And that will be the redemption of man from this planet Earth. And God is going to return this planet Earth to mankind, to the seed of Adam, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And that is what is the summary of what in the book of Revelation has been written and prophesied to us. And like I said in the earlier broadcast, in the beginning of this series, God is the author of the book of Revelation. God is the author of the book of Genesis. So the first and the last book, God said, I am the first and the last. He wrote the book and he allowed them to compile it and put it just that way. In the book of Genesis, God told mankind how it all began, for the seed of Adam, for man on earth. And in the book of Revelation, God told mankind how it's all going to end. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth only for the redeemed. If you want to be one of the redeemed, keep listening and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is the only way. No other religion, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. In the book of Revelation chapter 10, we start a new revelation. This time is the Lord manifesting to mankind to show us some things that will be going on, because when we talk about how will God do things, remember the end of the world, when we see the end of the world and God is going to take over this planet Earth, he's not just going to destroy everything and that is it, like in the days of Noah. God is also redeeming mankind, redeeming the saints, the elect, the body of believers that have believed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So as God is planning to do events in the world as it is, God also will be doing some events in the church, that is among the bands of believers. And in this book of Revelation, God also is revealing to us in symbolic form what he will be doing among the bands of believers. Now let's go on to the book of Revelation. So in the book of Revelation chapter 10, we're going to see part of the revelation of what God is doing among his elect now, rather than what God will be doing in the world, or what God has earmarked for the world to destroy the world. God is building something inside the world at the same time. Now in chapter 10, here comes the angel. Let's read verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Let me stop right there, and let's first talk about this manifestation of this angel. Apostle John, who wrote this revelation, when God revealed to him, said a mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now that manifestation alone is showing deity. So the angel, now that before I talk about what will this angel, who is this angel really, I want to tell you what the angel was holding. The angel was holding in his hand a little book open. Now let's talk about that little book. Remember this, in the book of Revelation chapter 5, when we started this thing, we saw that in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book was written on the backside that it was sealed within and without. And that book, which is the book that was to redeem mankind, was said, who is worthy to go and take the book from the right hand of him that sits upon the throne? And who is worthy? And we have read in that chapter 5, we saw only the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, that was qualified and worthy to take the book and to open it. And that was where the symbol of the Lamb was seen. And we describe in that chapter that was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was symbolized as the Lamb. We also say that the Lord Jesus Christ actually was not different from the one that sits on the throne, because in that chapter you see that actually the Lord, the Messiah that came to take the book, was represented as a lamb. Apostle John didn't say, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ came and take the book. He said, I saw a lamb that was slain. So that lamb actually was a symbol of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But why didn't he see the Lord Jesus Christ like a physical person, like any of the other angels that are standing around? No, because it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that was sitting on the throne in the position of the Father. So that is why they were able to worship the lamb, because they knew who was on the throne, and they know what is the relationship between he that is on the throne and the lamb that was like slain, that was coming to take the book. They all worshiped the lamb because that was the manifestation of God as a human being on earth, crucified for us to take away our sins. That was why it was not another person, it was symbol of the one on the throne, the symbol of the one on the throne when he came to man, to earth, to die for mankind. Okay, now after the book was taken, do you remember the seal? After the book was opened, he started opening the seals. And as the seals were opened, seal after seal was opened, what did we find? We found that as the seals were opened, seal after seal, that the sealed book became a little book. It was formerly like an envelope. After you opened the envelope or you sealed the envelope, or it was like a book that was wrapped together, and after you remove the wrapper, it becomes a book in your hand. That is what we now see in the book of Revelation chapter 10. That is, the seventh seal have been opened from that little book that was in the hand of the, that was taken by the lamp. And after the seventh seal was opened, it's now a book, and that was the seventh seal that was revealing the trumpets. Now during this time of the trumpets, we now see how the lamp of God, actually, who has the book in his hand, now manifested like the mighty angel with sun upon his face and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had this book in his right hand. And he now is going to call for time. Let's go on and read in verse 3. Because after the books were opened, he is the one that is going to redeem mankind. He has already shed his blood. He has numbered those who are going to be redeemed. And for 2,000 years, they have been called. And this is the end of time. After all these things are now coming to a close, he's now going to do the harvesting. And that is why he came in form of a mighty angel, and he's going to call for time. And let's see what he called for. And he cried, verse 3, and he cried with a loud voice, and as when a lion roared. Remember, he said he was the lion of the tribe of Judah in the book of Revelation chapter 5. He said, weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And now he manifested as in form of an angel, mighty angel, and roared like a lion, as a lion roared. And he said, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now we are going to come in a moment to these seven thunders, because I'm not going to say this is what the thunders say. I'm just going to say these seven thunders said something. And Apostle John wrote, I said, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, which means Apostle John heard what the seven thunders said. And as I was about to write, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So in short, which means God purposed that some things are to be kept secret and as a mystery for a purpose. When John wanted to write what the seven thunder said, God said, don't write, the voice told him, don't write those seven things first. Which means there are some things, and I'm now trying to make you to see that all of these things that is in the book of Revelation chapter 10 is revealing to mankind what God will be doing to gather his own elect, to gather the church, to bring the church to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that events and activities of God among his people to prepare us, to get us up to the level of the fullness of the church of Christ, are all that will be in this manifestation of the line of the tribe of Judah and in the book of seven thunders, to make people come to that fullness of the church of Christ. Now, if the devil knows what God will be doing to make his elect come to the fullness of the church of Christ, the devil will plan a strategy to stop it, or to disturb some people from getting to that fullness of the stature of Christ. And he has been doing it, even by not even knowing it, he's still doing something to hinder people, to hinder the saints of God, to hinder the elect of God. And God actually said to John, don't write those things, so that the devil perhaps will not know about it, so that human beings perhaps will be caused by surprise. He's left a mystery, but he is revealing it to those individual people. He's revealing it to those who are going to be preparing to the fullness of the time of Christ. He's coming among his elect to begin to prepare them himself. So that is what is going on here in the book of Revelation 13. Now let's go ahead and verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Remember what I just said? I said the mighty angel that came down in this chapter 10, after he has opened the books, the series from the book, is now a book. And we are coming to the close of the age. So he now came down to redeem his people. So he's calling for time, because this thing will not go on forever and ever. Remember, Apostle Peter said something here. He said, many scoffers will come in the latter time, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, everything go on the same. And we see here that type of excuses even up till today. We are unbelievers, critics that don't want to believe anything. We say, well, this is your Jesus, you say it's coming, it's still coming, still. We have been hearing that for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, is he still coming? And that is exactly what a lot of people still think up to today. They say, well, maybe it's not coming anymore. Maybe this thing will just continue on and on like that. But the Bible said, suddenly this mighty angel come and say, time! Because this thing will not continue forever like this. We have generations come and generation go, and generation come and generation go. Another government comes, another government goes. No, it will stop one day. And God is going to put an end to it and start a new heaven and a new earth. Because the prophecies have said it. In the book of Daniel, it was recorded that God will set up his own kingdom at the end of time. And this is the end of time. In the book of Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar saw that dream, Daniel interpreted the dream to him, the dream of a tree, or the dream that he said he saw of a statue that has head of gold and up through to the feet of iron and clay. And then he said a stone was cut without hand that bruised this statue at the feet, which is at the end of the world, and broke all the old statue in pieces. And Daniel interpreted it to mean the statue is representing the kingdoms of the world from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the head, till the end of the world, where there will be a lot of kingdoms. But God now will set up his own kingdom, which is the kingdom of God, which is not a particular country somewhere. It's going to be bands of believers that God is raising up, and they are going to disappear and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, along with the believers that are going to be separate from the world. And then when Christ will come down, it will be done the time they are destroying one another in the world war. And God will have to take over the kingdom of this world and let the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of all these governments of the world, destroy themselves and push them onto their destruction in Armageddon. Now, that is what is here. I will have to say, you must say, well, there are some denominations that believe that their church is that kingdom of God, like the Jehovah's Witness. They even preach more about this Armageddon, thinking that what their organization is going to be that kingdom of God. Well, any organization can claim to be anything, but this is the kingdom of God, is the body of believers worldwide. Those that are saved now, not just anybody that claim to go to church, and yet they are sinners. Those who are born again, those whom Christ has accepted, those who are filled with the Holy Ghost, those who are looking unto him, who are looking and waiting patiently for him. The Lord Jesus Christ knows that I am his son, and he's saying, if you are part of him, so that you are my disciples, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciple indeed. So the Lord knows that are his son. But they are worldwide. They are from every denomination. Those that he has accepted, those that have trusted in him, and they have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that is the kingdom of God. But there will be a first fruits that will arrive to the fullness of the church of Christ, and they are like the prophets of God. Those are like the people that God has going to take away into the spiritual world to fight a spiritual warfare for God and cast the satanic spirits down from the heavens. And in the end, when God shall come down with the angel, with the saints with him, to take over the earth, this planet earth will be given to these people of God, the saints of the Most High God, the Christians, the holy people, forever and forever. And that is what was prophesied in the book of Daniel. He said the saints and the people of the saints of the Most High shall take over the kingdom and possess it forever, even forever and ever. Go and read it yourself in the book of Daniel chapter 2. And also in Daniel chapter 7. When we were going through the Daniel series, we mentioned that. Now, Like I said, Apostle Peter also wrote and said, there will be scoffers in the last days that are saying, where is the promise of his coming? And they didn't know that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. But Lord, the Lord is not slack concerning his coming. He is still coming, but he's being patient, long-suffering to mankind, so that they might repent and come to Christ. But when that thing will suddenly appear, when the lion of the tribe of Judah shall suddenly come down and call time, that is the beginning of the end, the beginning of all things, when he begins to gather. That means at that time he has that it come down and begin to walk among his elect, and quietly walking among these bands of believers that bring them to the fullness of the church of Christ. And then when he calls time, there will be the beginning of the end, rapture, taking away of the saints from this planet, and everything that is earmarked to come to close the end. That is what we have in the book of Revelation chapter 10 that is being revealed to us here. The angel of the Lord, the mighty angel, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the rainbow angel, we normally call it that, because he was clothed with rainbow upon his head. So that rainbow angel we call for time. But we are talking of an angel of God, and this is Christ manifesting in the form of an angel, because he is the one that has the little book in his hand. That he was the lamb in that Revelation chapter 5 that took the book, and he is the one that is going to redeem mankind, and Christ is the one that is going to harvest the earth. And now he said there will be time no longer. That was the first message that he gave. Now verse 7 said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Now the voice of the seventh angel is what he said, in the days of the seventh angel, this everything will begin to fall. A lot of people have so many meaning of what is this seventh angel and so on and so forth. You have seen in the book of in the earlier chapters we have studied, he mentioned the seven trumpets, the seven angels that have the seven trumpets, and they have been blowing the trumpets. And we are now in chapter 9, we saw the fifth angel sounded. In chapter 6, we saw the sixth angel sounded, and we are yet to see the seventh angel sound. And that's when this mighty angel, the rainbow angel, said, in the days of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. That means everything we are talking about right now, how will God manifest to his people? How will he prepare us to go in the rapture? How will he prepare his body to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ? They are all going to be known during the time of the seventh angel's trumpet. This seventh angel is going to be sounding. And when we talk about the angel's trumpet, the angels blowing their trumpet, it's actually a time season. Trumpet is like preaching. Trumpet is like preaching sermons. Trumpet is like when they want to go to battle, they sound the trumpet. So this angel's prophet sounding trumpet is all actually representing a season when God will send some messages out, and the mighty ministers of God will go in about preaching about something, about the end time, about the end of the world is coming. And that season, when that preaching is going on, there will be judgment of the world upon ungodly also. That is what this angel sounding prophet actually represents. I know a minister of God that preached many years ago that said, when an angel blows a trumpet, then there comes judgment. The trumpet is like the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of a special message from the Lord. Like the days of Apostle Paul, he was like blowing trumpet. He was going about the Asia and all the known world, preaching good news of Jesus Christ. It was like he was blowing trumpet. And those who believe are being sealed to be believers. Those who do not believe, they persecuted the Christians, and then judgment came upon them from God. And that was exactly how it was preached. Then came another generation after Apostle Paul, where the church was going into the ungodly, into the dark ages. Even then, they were going to dark ages. There were still people that God is sending for, like Apostle Paul, that were leaders among them, that were still preaching the good news. And that would be like the sounding of another trumpet. And there have been seven dispensations of the church like that. Then came, after many years, came Martin Luther, who started blowing the trumpet that the just shall live by faith. And that was the blowing of the trumpet again. And people that believed in that were sealed by God. And those who did not believe, and those who persecuted the people of God, they were also judged by some punishment, by some pestilences, by some plagues, and many things that happened in the world. These are all the fingers of God we have seen over the generations, over the centuries. And at the seventh angel blowing the trumpet will be the seventh dispensation that has started in the since the 19th century, precisely People believe that earlier, the beginning of the 20th century, 1900 and something, when the revival of the baptism of the Holy Ghost came down, that was the beginning of the downpour of the Holy Spirit in this our generation. And during that time is the beginning of the sounding of the seventh angel trumpet that have been preaching that the Lord is giving the baptism of the Holy Ghost to multitudes of believers, and the Lord has been doing it, and many people have been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Miracles are happening worldwide. It was a time of the Pentecostalism, the Pentecostal dispensation. I mean, that started all over again in the 1900s series. Azusa Street Revival, they call it, that started the baptism of the Holy Ghost worldwide. And that time is the beginning of our seventh dispensation, and the seventh trumpet have been blowing all through the up till this time. And Bible said during that season, during the time of this baptism of the Holy Ghost dispensation, where this knowledge is being known that God can give us the Holy Ghost, it is during that time God will be revealing all the other mystery of God through different ministers, through different prophets. And that has been going on for almost 1,000 years now, since 1906, the Azusa Street Revival. And that is what I'm trying to explain to you right now, so that you can see what the Lord is talking about. Now, after this has taken place, the Lord said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. I just narrated to you what these seven trumpets really mean, and how it was dispensationally described, and how that after every trumpet comes judgment of God upon those who refuse to believe and those who oppose the Christian faith. And that has taken place for generations, and now we are in the seventh dispensation. The seventh angel has been trumpeting. That means the preachers, the believers worldwide, have been going about preaching about salvation, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be healed, you can be saved. That has been going on, and it will continue till the end of time. It was during this generation God also has been revealing the mystery of what he is about to do to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is the mystery that will be finished in this seventh trumpet generation. And verse 8 now, let's go on to verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, let me quickly summarize what the angel was talking to Apostle John about right here in the last verse. Remember, Apostle John, when he received this revelation, he was in the island of Patmos as an exile. He was exiled to the island called Patmos by the Roman Empire. And that was when the Lord manifested to him and showed him the old book of Revelation that he wrote down for us. Now, the angel was telling him that he will prophesy again, which means he was going to be released. And we know about in history that Apostle John was released from that island apartment. He came back into the city and still ministered to the believers in all the Asian countries. That is what the Lord was telling him, right? Like that he promised to him that he will prophesy again before kings, before nations. That means he was not going to die in that exile, because when they exile people in those generations, they just get rid of them forever. They're not to come to the society anymore. But God was prophesying to him that God will make him be released, and he will be released to come back to the city and be preaching again. And Apostle John did that. That was fulfilled to Apostle John. Now, the angel also went further and told him that, eat this book, and it shall make your mouth sweet, but bitter in the belly. The word of God is like that. We preach it, it is sweet, but to do it, you have to fight. It's a struggle for every man that is going to obey the word of God. Even though the Lord has made it easy for us or anybody that we obey him, however, we have an enemy, Satan, that will resist every work of God. Satan will resist you from doing what you know to do. That is, it is easier said than done. That's exactly what I'm saying. The word of God, the sermons, the preaching is easier said. But to do it, not just for the preachers alone, even for the listeners, to do it, you have to remember, it's a warfare. Understand that it's not a jelenke, it's not an easygoing thing, it's a battle. We're in a warfare. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to everyone that we follow him. He said, carry your cross. If you want to be my disciple, count the cost. Carry your cross and follow Jesus Christ. So make up your mind that you want to follow Jesus. The devil will not let it be easy. There will be persecution. There will be temptation. Even your friends may forsake you. But don't worry about them if you know what you are doing. That yours is the kingdom of heaven. Christ said it. So you may be hunger and thirst right now for righteousness, but yours is the kingdom of heaven. That is what I want you to know. So it will be sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. After you swallow it, there will be persecution against you. There will be in fact, in the end of the world, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, the Bible said an antichrist will persecute the saints and overcome them. Many will be killed for standing for Jesus. It's coming. It has happened before in the days of the Roman Empire, and it's going to happen again before the end of the world. But those that are killed and persecuted and they stand their ground and lay their life for Christ, theirs is this planet Earth. They will be given this earth again. Christ will resurrect them to live on this planet forever and ever. Now choose whom you are going to serve today. That is my challenge to you, listener. Choose whom you are going to serve today. Are you afraid for your life? See, if you love your life more than loving Christ, you can't be his disciple. But those that count their life as nothing because they love the Lord Jesus Christ and they are ready to die for him, those are the true believers. But when you are dying for him, you still say you should be blessing those who are persecuting you. Praying for them that are persecuting you to be a disciple of Christ indeed. You are not to take your gun and kill somebody. You are not to go and defend yourself and kill somebody. No. You are to be praying and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Like we saw in the first church age, Apostle Stephen, the first martyrs of Christ, were persecuted, they were stoned to death. They were still praying for those that are stoning them, that Father forgive them. That is our calling, young man. That is our calling, young woman. That is our calling as believer. That is, be ready to lay down your life for Christ and not even defending, not even trying to fight for yourself. I remember talking to somebody a long time ago. I told him about there's coming persecution and all these things you guys we are enjoying right now may not be easy to enjoy in the future because of persecution. And the man said, maybe we all have to take our guns and fight back. He said, no, Jesus Christ didn't say we should take our guns and fight back. He said, when they slap you on one cheek, turn the other also. However, he also said, when they persecute you in one city, flee to the other city. He doesn't fight back. Run to the other city. He said, but you will not have covered all the cities of the land before the Messiah comes. So remember this. Pray for those that are persecuting you. Pray and bless them, asking God to forgive them, so that you may be, for your own sake, so that you may be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ indeed, like the first apostles. That is my message to you. That is, it's going to be sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. But blessed are they that endure to the end, because those that endure to the end shall be saved. That is my message for you today. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have not even known everything I'm saying. Accept Jesus today and ask Jesus to come into your heart. That is because we are the owners of this planet. Very soon the world will be taken, will be destroyed, and we saints, we Christians, we take this planet over. Whether we are there, we'll be resurrected to live on this planet again forever and ever, this time no more death. And this earth belongs to the saints, to the Christians. That's what we are saying. You want to be one of the Christians, come and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Say it after me. Say, Jesus, I accept you. Come into my heart and make me a new creature. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you that are believers that are listening to me, I want to pray for you. Lord, make all the believers that are listening right now, let them be blessed. Help them to have the zeal to follow thee and to be bold to stand for Jesus and not be afraid, and to be as humble and gentle like a dove, ready to lay down their life for Christ without cursing back, without reviling again, so that they will be disciples of Christ indeed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Write to us. We send you some money to you. Write to Evangelist Julius Adewumi.
Write to the Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA.
On the internet, our web address is www.gospeldistribution.org. www.gospeldistribution.org. Or send us email on the internet, we shall send you some more exhortation. God bless you. Jesus loves you.